You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Browns Nation, so glad you're locked in, dialed in with us. Come to the right place. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Michael Regei, Matt Wilhelm, and our guest, gentlemen we love having conversation with because, quite frankly, he's all over it, as I always tell you. Scott Petrak, the outstanding beat writer, NFL seer and sage from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Scotty, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Terrific. Always doing good
well.
To see you. Yeah,
you.
Yeah. So right off the top, I mean, let's take a couple of days steps back. We talked about it last week. How defining was the win over Pittsburgh on Sunday, and do you expect it to mean nothing but greater escalation for this Cleveland Browns organization on the field going forward?
I do, and I think it was huge, and you guys have talked about it, but it's not a 28-point furious comeback. It wasn't a fluky thing that happened, and that's what I wrote. It was a dominant win over a good football team and a team that has owned you. So to come out and do it the way they did, to, you know, they had a tough start, but they weren't fazed by it, which we've learned that they're not going to be fazed by it. And then they ran it over Pittsburgh, and they made big throws. But when your quarterback completes only 8 passes and you still score 31, and there was nothing crazy about it. They lined up, and they ran over Pittsburgh. So, to me, they keep answering question after question. Can Brian Hoyer handle it? Yes. Can this team respond? Yes. And, you know, I think we saw a glimpse of what this defense can become. I think it's still far away from where Mike Pettine would want it to be. But it was a complete win, and I have no reason to doubt, I have less reason to doubt, that it won't continue. I expect them to keep winning games until the schedule gets hard, and then I expect them to be close, and we'll see what they do then.
I've been a part of some great football teams, some winning football teams, and it does become, you know, almost like a drug, that winning. And the momentum and confidence that you gain from winning, that is something that hasn't happened around here for a very long time. And I know we're still very immature into this football season, but how have you felt hearing from Coach Pettine and hearing from the guys in the locker room about dealing with success and carrying over that success into a Jacksonville football game on the road?
Well, I'll tell you what, they're all saying the right things. And, you know, we were in there Monday. And you'd expect your quarterback to say, you know, Brian Hoyer, oh, it's a good Jacksonville defense, and we're going to have our work cut out for us. But I've been impressed with Mike Pettine. I think he has a good balance of knowing what people outside the locker room are saying. He knows that people outside view the Browns as they should win their next three games. It's a bad schedule coming up. And he also knows that, okay, I need to address that with the team, but not dwell on it. It's, fellas, we're going to be favored. And the Browns haven't been favored on the road much ever, and it doesn't matter. We have to go in and play like we've been playing, or else we're going to be one of those teams that at the end of a Sunday you look up and go, oh, we didn't expect the Browns to lose in Jacksonville, but they did. He said it today. And he said it multiple times. We cannot go play an average game and expect to beat Jacksonville. And I think that when you get in front of that, the team starts to appreciate it. And I think he said it Monday. So for any of those rookies or young guys saying, you know what, we're going to go into Jacksonville this week and roll, I can take it easy. I think they knew Monday morning that, you know what, Wednesday is going to be a tough practice.
Now, this is down the road. And again, you have a beat to what's going on both nationally and locally. Do you think, and we'll talk about Jacksonville first, but then on into the Raiders and Tampa Bay game, do you think that there will be a discount nationally associated with wins over those three football teams because they do have a combined record of 1-16? Or do you think it's a true sign that this is a Cleveland Browns football team that can win, knows how to play with success, and can truly be a team that we're talking in the playoff picture right down the road?
I think it'll be a little bit of both, but when the Browns, let's say the Browns, when they go into Cincinnati for that Thursday night game, they'll get a lot of national attention. And
the record will look great,
right?
But it's who they've played and who they beat,
right,
will be the lower echelon of the National Football League.
Yes, and that will come up. They'll look at the schedule and go, okay, well, they beat a Pittsburgh team that's 500. They beat a Saints team that struggled out of the gate. And then they beat three teams with a combined one win. So they will be in a Tennessee team. They will be well aware of that. But we all know that this league, you cannot discount wins. And if the Browns win 5 in a row heading into Cincinnati, they will be probably the hottest team in the league. And it seems almost silly to say the Browns are winning 5 in a row because I don't know when the last time it happened. But it's realistic to think that they could be there Having said that, we know how this league works.
Sure.
You could get tripped up anytime and not even play a terrible game. I mean,
no.
Tampa went into Pittsburgh and beat them, so can't take anything
for
granted.
Look at the way Oakland's played a couple on the road.
They played San Diego. They played my San Diego Chargers. Extremely
San Diego
tough.
Beat.
Yes.
And then, of course, you know, the self-inflicted wounds.
Sure.
Scott Petrak joining us, Elyria Chronicle Telegram. All right, now, Scotty, one of the things that, and there was a lot of conversation, and Scott was in here as Matt and I were just talking about what could transpire on the O-line. But the fact of the matter remains, in addition to Alex Mack, in addition to Armani Bryant, you've got Phil Taylor still out. Ataba Rubin was out. Now Kaywan Williams, who has been terrific, is up in the air. Scott, the depth of this football team now is really going to start to be tested, and the bottom of that roster, is it not? You and I have talked about this a lot. The bottom of that roster is going to come into greater play, and not just on special teams either.
No, you're right. And you look at that roster, and there's guys you just don't talk about, right? You don't talk about the Ishmaili Kitchens of the world on a daily basis, and then all of a sudden he needs to play
Eric
Martin, 50 snaps.
Robert Nelson.
Exactly. And I think, you know, Alex Mack is a huge loss, and the Browns will feel it. I don't think they felt it Sunday against Pittsburgh, but there will be moments in this year where you can point out, man, if Alex Mack were in there, this play would have went better because he's a Pro Bowl center. Now, the good point is Phil Taylor's not going to be out forever. It's only going to be, whatever, 2, 3, 4 more weeks. Ataba Rubin they hope to have back this week. We don't know about Kaywan Williams because it's a concussion. You never know with that.
Sure.
But the fact is your depth is always going to be tested, but – every team in the league has to survive those kind of injuries, and it's easier to survive. I think I heard you guys say it. It's easier to survive, even though it's Alex Mack, along that offensive line than it's if it's your starting quarterback, if it's your elite pass rusher, if it's Joe Hayden. I think there's certain positions on this team that the Browns couldn't afford to lose, and as good as Alex Mack is, and as much as I think they should have paid him, and I think Ray Farmer did the right thing, I think you can afford to lose him as opposed to even a Joe Thomas.
Now, Scott, Scott Petrak joining us from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram. Scott, Terrence West was a surprised healthy scratch going into that Pittsburgh Steelers game. It can be perceived as the reason why, multiple different ways, because they like Isaiah Crowell, or as a kind of a wake-up call for Terrence West. As we talk about injuries and needing to address injuries both on the D-line and the offensive line, is that something that we can see moving forward, or can Terrence West practice himself back into an active spot on Sunday?
Well, he's going to get a chance to practice himself back onto the active roster, but I don't expect him to pass Isaiah Crowell right now. Now, if Crowell keeps putting the ball on the ground, then you could see
that'll change,
right?
But,
you know, we've talked about this. I like Crowell's skill set better than I like Terrence West. I think he's just more explosive. I think he's bigger. He's not maybe not as shifty, but that's not what I'm looking for, especially in this scheme.
No,
but,
you're not.
Right. But Mike Pettine said today that Terrence West, if he practices well, will have a chance to be up. And that's all you can ask. But I think it's important, and we talk about Pettine and just this, the things that he's brought to this team. And he doesn't kill players to the media. He doesn't kill them in public. But he has sent messages. And he sent one with Terrence West that says, if you don't practice well, if you don't do what we're telling you, and if you don't have the right attitude.
Yeah.
And I think Terrence West was put off when Ben Tate came back and got the starting job and got the carries, and he's behind Isaiah Crowell. All of a sudden, he goes from first to third on the depth chart. I don't think he took it well. And Mike Pettine goes, it's fine. You don't have to take it well, and we're not going to play you. And maybe you can't send
we'll
that message to everybody.
Open your eyes and ears, Rook.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and
this
I think
is the NFL now.
That's a strong message from a rookie coach, and I think that's one of the many things that he's handled well.
Yeah, well, and that's something that goes to as – we speak with Scott Petrak of the Elyria Chronicle Telegram. Make sure you check him out on Twitter, by the way, at Scott Petrak, P-E-T-R-A-K. The relationship, and Mike Pettine touched on this briefly today, Scotty, the relationship that is now starting to foster and really looks like it's in a fabulous groove between Kyle Shanahan and Brian Hoyer. How much of what Shanahan and his perception and now knowledge of working with Hoyer every day, practice field, watching tape, and game day, how much of that is, in your mind, at the forefront of how successful this Browns offense has been with Hoyer as a trigger man?
Well, I was joking with Hoyer on Monday that they need to work on their chest pump, because when after a touchdown the other day, Hoyer ran off and he jumped, and Shanahan kind of just turned, didn't even leave the ground. Their relationship has really developed. And I think it started when Brian was named the starter. You know, because then it was full go with Brian. Shanahan talks about how hard Hoyer works and how it's easy to cheer for that guy and easy to coach a guy with the work ethic and the dedication that Brian Hoyer has. And you can see, we're talking about MVPs of the first five games. To me, it's Mike Pettine, Kyle Shanahan, and Brian Hoyer. And I don't know what that order would be, but Shanahan's offense opens up so much in the, you know, we talk about the zone run and how it opens up to play action. Brian Hoyer is given chances to make plays. And that's what you want from your coordinator and play caller. And then Brian Hoyer has succeeded with those opportunities. He's made big throw after big throw after big throw. So when you get to be that play caller and you know your quarterback can do that, and you know he's making the right decision, and he's not turning the ball over, then that trust grows up, the confidence goes up, and you kind of feel like you could freewheel a little bit. And I think Kyle Shanahan probably says, you know what, I can call 35 plays, and Brian Hoyer is going to run each of them well.
I agree with you, Scott, that those guys need to work on their chest bump. But what we must understand is that one guy's wearing pads and one guy's not. Okay, so that shoulder shrug, that awkward shoulder shrug, might have come from the fact that I'm trying to protect myself. I agree with you, Scott, and I really do think, and that's where we can get into talk about at later into the season about Brian Hoyer and making these throws, but I've been a huge fan personally of Kyle Shanahan because it's the orchestration and the X's and O's behind the scenes in my eyes that leads Brian Hoyer to throw to open receivers consistently. You know, he's not having to force balls or force an issue or force himself into bad situations. We're talking out-scheming a defense or anticipating a coverage on a certain down and distance and knowing exactly what you're going to get and make that call, and it's the execution of Brian Hoyer and that offense that highly impresses me.
Well, that's exactly right. And how many one-on-one throws is Brian Hoyer making? Where it's not – I'm not fitting into a tight window.
No, very
few.
You're
right, I'm not between linebacker and safety. It's a guy's running on a deep cross, and he's beating his guy. All I got to do is put in front of him, right? Jordan Cameron's wide open. Now, he's made good throws. The post wasn't a perfect throw.
And he's missed a few. He has. So Brian knows he can improve as well.
And that's what I'm going to ask him today. We get Brian Hoyer later in the locker room, and I'm going to ask him, where do you need to get better? Okay, we're 5 weeks in. You keep saying, I need to get better. Kyle says, well, where are those points where I need to get better? You know, in Tennessee, he thought he only made one bad throw, and it was Hawkins in the end zone, but he missed him. And that's 7 points that they didn't get. So there's places where he could get better, but he's thrown it well. And again, there's so many, not easy opportunities, but opportunities for a quarterback. And it starts with the play calling, and then the line helps. And you mentioned the blocking. Gary Barnidge had a block on the touchdown run. Mm. And on that deep touchdown to Cameron, he peels off from the right side, comes across, and picks up James Harrison to give Hoyer that extra beat. If he doesn't do it, it's a sack. And all of a sudden they're punting instead of scoring the touchdown.
It's in concert right now, and there's no doubt about that. And defensively, which we didn't touch on, with all of those that were among the missing, they found a way to play their most complete football game of the year on the defensive side. I don't know, maybe that was having the benefit of seeing Roethlisberger and that Pittsburgh offense just 5 weeks prior and gaining a lot from that, but they schemed that up very well too. Scotty, look, we appreciate the time as always, my man. Be safe. You going to Jacksonville?
I'll be there.
All right. Be safe. I assume you believe a W is going to be attached to this, or
yeah. I'm gonna pick one. I haven't decided yet if I think it'll be close or not.
Okay. We'll read that in the Elyria Chronicle Telegram.
Sounds good.
And
that's
Scott Petrak. Thanks, Scotty. Always appreciate the thoughts. And do check him out on Twitter @ScottPetrak. All right, don't go away. We're going to dive back. It's hashtag Mailbag Wednesday on Twitter here at Browns, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Don't go away. Got a lot more coming up. Reg Eye Wilhelm will finish this baby out. Lot to do. If you want to jump on board, 216-578-0850. We have time for you. As Mike Pettine kind of told his football team about, don't look at numbers with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Forget about all that. Look at what they do scheme-wise and how it may present problems to us, as Pettine would, meaning his Cleveland Browns. We'll get into that when we return. Don't go away.